Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence, subpar host of the show. There's never any doubt about that. Now, on the other side... on the other side of the glass, Rob Satter is our fabulous producer, just doing a stupendous job every day. Matt Catrillo could not be more phenomenal. And we have a guest in the studio today. Joe's here, too. On the Mark is sponsored.
Notice I got last billing again, but that's all right.
Short
I don't
shrift.
Mind. Our guest is much more important.
All right, no, I'm not more important.
Joe does a super job.
Congressional district.
Joe does a super job. Just ask him. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check him out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. It will be open shortly. Right now, we are going to talk to State Representative Fred Keller is with us, but he's not wearing that hat today. He's got his MAGA hat on, and he's running for U.S. Congress. No, he doesn't.
I do not wear hats.
Do you own a MAGA hat? Anybody ever give you one anyway?
I collect political memorabilia.
Oh.
And I have all kinds of items. Actually, some of the stuff I have is, dates back to, I used to have a Harding and Coolidge poster, but I gave that to a friend of mine. Thomas Dewey is my oldest poster now.
Hmm.
Or Alf Landon, I forget.
Well,
but
then
I
you have to have
stuff.
A MAGA hat. That's the most divisive piece of clothing of our time.
No, I think a Landon sunflower would be the most important.
A what?
I have a Landon sunflower.
Do you?
You
okay.
Wear
yes,
those?
It's
that
a button.
That
was his symbol.
That was his button. It was a button, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, back in the day.
All
you
right.
You know nothing of Alf Landon's works.
Well, I know enough.
Governor of Kansas, I
right.
believe.
Okay.
Ran against FDR, got creamed.
Okay, fantastic.
Before Wendell Willkie ran in 1940.
Right. Still doesn't qualify as clothing. I said the most divisive piece of political clothing in the world. So,
well, if you let things become divisive, Mark, I guess you could say that. But, let's move on.
Well, Fred, out of curiosity, what made you, after a long, well, not a terribly long, but a good long time in Harrisburg in the State House of Representatives, what made you decide to go for another office?
Well, Mark, you mentioned something.
No, I'm Joe.
You mentioned, Joe.
It's all right, Fred.
Yeah, Joe. You mentioned about my time in Harrisburg, and I just like to say that when you look at my experience, which I'm proud of, by the way, and I think I've shared with I know Mark, and I don't know if you do with you, Joe, the fact that I grew up very poor. And growing up poor, we went to school, we worked hard. I worked in the factory, I managed that factory. I had my own small business. Raised a family here in central Pennsylvania, and then my friends and neighbors elected me to represent them in the state house, and did it. And I according to them, did a very good job. They've elected me 4 times, overwhelmingly each time.
And now, you're still doing it, I might
yes,
add.
And now I have an opportunity to take those values to Washington, D.C., the same as I did to Harrisburg. So I appreciate the fact that you're pointing out why I'm so qualified to do the job.
Well, you have put in the time, no argument there, and you've always been very accessible to us and to all the media and to anybody who had ever asked you a question. I will say that I don't think you've ever been asked a question you didn't give an answer to. I might not like the answer, but you always gave one.
Well, again, I'm what people would call the American dream. You know, this poor kid that grew up and, you know, was able to be successful and now takes the values of that district to government. And that's what the government should be about. Us as the citizens defining the government, not the government defining us. And I think sometimes that gets lost with some people wanting the government to tell us everything that is right for us, and instead of us telling the government the kind of government we want to have.
Well, let's say you're successful and you win this election, and you go to Washington as the most junior of junior congressmen in the back of the back bench and in the midterms, and it'll be about another year and a half till you've got seniority over anybody. What do you think you can accomplish there, and what will you try to accomplish there?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that we can work on. You know, there's a lot of important issues that face the 12th Congressional District and our nation. And, you know, working alongside the people of the 12th Congressional District with the priorities and taking those priorities to D.C. and working with people. And in other words, these jobs aren't about what one person accomplishes. It's about what we do as the collective whole to make lives better for our constituents, for the people that live in the 12th Congressional District, for the people that live in our nation. And it's about what we do together rather than making it about what one person will do. You know, what I will do is I will work the way I have worked. I will look at the priorities, and I will advocate for those things and work to get legislation passed or regulations repealed that hinder the creative free spirit of the American people.
Common sense in Washington, even your Republican leaders won't like you. If you're gonna read the bills, you're gonna speak your mind when asked, that's the last thing they want.
Well, I wouldn't say it's the last thing, but you mentioned the fact of the record I've had in the State House and the fact that I do those items. So wouldn't that be a refreshing thing and a marker to put out there is this is what I'll do and make sure that everybody understands that going into it. So I look at, you know, my going to Washington, D.C. might be a refreshing thing for some aspects of politics that, quite frankly, maybe needs to happen.
I think in the past you had talked about the State House imposing your own term limits. 12 years, is that?
I had said that early on.
Okay. Yeah. Will you do the same thing in the U.S. Congress?
Well, I want to wait a little bit and see how the seniority things go. Having been in the State House, and that's some experience I would look at, you know, I'm not going to make this a career because I've already had a career in the wood products industry and my own business. But I think we need to look at some of the term limits for our bureaucrats and the people that aren't answerable to the public. And maybe we need to start there before we start talking about term limits for elected officials.
And you're 54 or something in that range?
I'll be 54 later this year.
Okay. All right. And
still a young guy.
Right. Yeah, no argument.
Thank you. I like being called that.
Younger than me. A lot of people are. But nobody's younger than Joe. That's the ongoing.
No, everybody's younger than Joe.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, sorry about that. You insult yourself.
Yes. Well, I thought I'd
save
you the time.
That says something about you. All right. Well, explain how the campaign is going, your top priorities, sort of review what you're saying to people as you go out and knock on doors and
so on.
And
what are you hearing from them as you go around the district?
Well, again, I think that's probably the more important point, Joe. You know, the fact of listening. Again, my belief is that we as citizens should be defining our government and in our republic. That's how it was set up to work. Hearing a lot of things from people. One of the things is, of course, the jobs, and of course the job readiness. You know, the skills needed to fulfill jobs and what we need to do there. So there is some work we can do. And in fact, at the state level, I've been working with some people in New Berlin and other friends of mine that have come to me with these issues that are in education and so on. So we're working on some ideas there, and we'll continue that at the federal level. So, you know, job training, job skills, that's very important. Also important is health care. And I know there's a lot of things in the news with health care. And the thing I would say there, when we look at our what we do for health care, the first and most important thing is to make sure that we cover people with pre-existing conditions. And then we need to look at transparency and competition to make sure it's affordable and that people get quality health care. And the reason I feel that way is, I don't know if you know the story of my son when he was three and he had an accident, head injury. Wasn't expected to live. And, you know, the doctors a lot of times talk to us about disconnecting life support. You know, and of course we prayed and, you know, he as you know, I think, Joe, you've met my son a couple times. He's 20, he'll be 28 later this year. But because of competition, because of quality health care, and not a single payer making decisions on people's health, my son's alive today. I would hate to think what would have happened had there been one person that was delivering the care and paying the bill and everything else without competition. Would there have been the quality of care he got?
In Washington or Harrisburg, that one person, the last place you want your doctor to be. All right, and the campaign, described that. That was the question I asked you.
Hearing a lot of good things, a lot of concerns, and I don't know if everybody's aware of the makeup of the 12th Congressional District, but it's 15 counties, 13 entire counties and parts of two. It starts in the northeast with Susquehanna, then it goes to Bradford, Tioga, and Potter. Then you pick up Wyoming, Sullivan, Lycoming, and Clinton. Then you have part of Northumberland, Union, part of Center, Snyder, Juniata, Mifflin and Perry counties. So that's the district. It goes from the New York line to the greater Harrisburg metropolitan area, and from Susquehanna County in the east to Potter County in the west along the New York border. So it's a great district. It's a district I traveled when I bought lumber for Conestoga years ago. So I'm getting reacquainted with the communities that I knew when I was up there buying lumber. A lot of great, hardworking people that are, you know, really want to have their voice heard in government with the values which are hard work, you know, not a government that's going to pile on regulations and, you know, energy is a huge issue. That's, you know, one thing I'm hearing is the energy, you know, this Green New Deal that people have signed on to. And, you know, there's people in this campaign that have said that it's a jobs thing. It's not a jobs thing. Go talk to the people that are working in the coal mines and working in the gas industry. That's jobs. And it's Pennsylvania energy. And I think it's important to develop that Pennsylvania energy, not just for our Commonwealth, but for the security of our nation and our allies. So a lot of things around the natural gas industry that are coming up in the campaign.
Well, I think it's fair to say that you've been immersed in Pennsylvania issues for the past few years. Now you may, if you win the election, be headed to Washington, where you'll be immersed in a lot of different issues that you've never had to deal with before. How does Fred Keller catch up?
Well, again, that's already started, Joe, with the campaign and with things. As anybody knows me, I do the research. And I don't go to a political think tank to do the research. You know, so I don't go at the state level, you know, and I'll just, you have the Budget and Policy Center and you have the Commonwealth Foundation. I like to go to resources that are not funded by anybody. I always used to say in business, follow the dollar, you know, and you can pretty well get the bias of what's happening. So a lot of what I've done at the state level is look at the, you know, the state websites as far as the budget and DEP and so on. And I do the same thing at the federal level when you go to the IRS website and, Treasury website and so on. So EPA. So there's a lot of things and a lot of research you can do. So it is a tremendous amount of reading, a tremendous amount of listening and getting the information and getting it right. So.
Well, the other issue, of course, in running a campaign, it's far more expensive, I suspect, to run for the United States Congress than the Pennsylvania House. So what about PAC money and dark money and all these nefarious contributions that go around or we hear about? You know, how is that playing
talking
out?
Talking to Fred Keller. Well, you remember that, right?
I know I am, and I know the answer I'm going
to
get.
Well, here's the point, I guess, I would like to say. You know, again, Joe, you talk about hearing about a lot of PAC money and other things. Again, that's the talking point of some of these political organizations that want to make it a talking point. You know, there are FEC guidelines of how much money a PAC, how much money an individual can contribute to a campaign. And they're enforced by the federal government. So everything, you know, we have a compliance officer with our campaign that takes a look at our contributions to make sure that they meet the FEC guidelines. Again, like I do anything, I make sure I do it properly and by the law, which I think everybody should do. But that's how we do things. So, you know, when I started out, we looked at making sure that even before I said I was running, I know I got a lot of questions. Are you running? Are you running? Well, you know, we're considering it. But before I said I was running, because once you say you're running for Congress, you have like 10 days to get your paperwork filed. We filed our paperwork before we said I was running for Congress, simply to make sure that we covered all our bases and we're ready to go. So I can assure you that any money that our campaign receives will be by the federal guidelines, and we won't be taking we can't and you shouldn't be taking money that doesn't meet those guidelines.
Well, with a plurality of close to 100,000 or maybe even a little over 100,000 Republicans in the district, is it worthwhile for the Republicans or the Democrats to pump money, outside money, into this race?
You know, that's a decision they're going to have to make, Joe. You know, again, I don't look at what outside groups do. I look at what's best for the 12th Congressional District. And, you know, we're running our campaign. I don't let distractions, dictate what we're going to do. They may or they may not. I guess we'll see what happens.
Your U.S. Congressional candidate, Fred Keller for Congress.com.
Yes, Fred Keller for Congress.com is our web address. And, you know, it's been, and we're on Twitter and Facebook. I know Mark sent me a thing Fred Keller just tweeted. And
oh, I know.
A phrase he thought he'd never.
This was a couple Saturdays ago.
Are you tweeting, Fred? I don't believe it.
Well, again, I believe in embracing technology and tools. And if you're going to be successful in anything, you got to make sure that you use all tools that are available to you.
But you don't do it at 3 o'clock in the morning like our president does, do you?
No, I don't. I mean, I get up very early, and with some of my friends, we might send some text messages. In fact, my friend called me yesterday, and I missed the call, so I left him a message last evening, and we exchanged a couple text messages. My friend Mike Lyons, I used to work with him at Conestoga, and when we worked at Conestoga, we were always both very early risers. So, you know, nothing unusual at 4 or 4:30 in the morning to be exchanging a text with a friend or something just to catch up.
And there's a slight difference, though, between having a great discipline and getting up early than staying up all night tweeting. Slight difference. We'll make that differentiation. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Yes, two Saturdays ago, I did have to send a message to Fred saying something I thought I'd never say. I just got a tweet from Fred Keller. Well, I said it because the campaign is tweeting. So we appreciate that. So now we're following you on Twitter. We'll take a quick break. If anybody has a question for our guest, who is a U.S. congressional candidate, Fred Keller, running in the 12th District, give us a call, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. If you have a question for U.S. congressional candidate Fred Keller, he's a Republican in the 12th District running for office. Now that we don't have old Tom Marino to kick around anymore, we are going to get us a real congressman.
Well, we could still kick him around.
Hey.
Hello?
Let's not kick anybody around. How's that? We talk about civil discourse and respect and everybody.
Speaking of civility, if you're elected, you're going into the worst place in the world for civility. I mean, there's none of it there.
Are you sure that's the worst place in the world, Joe, or are you just saying
that? Well, I haven't seen any. I mean, it seems to me that in Washington, I've referred to this book before. In the 1960s, Dr. Eric Byrne wrote a book called Games People Play, and one of the games was called Now I Got You, USOB. And it seems like there's a lot of that going on in Washington. Instead of trying to find ways that they can work together and cooperate, they're focusing on what divides them.
I don't think that all starts in Washington, though, Joe, in all fairness. I think it starts with some of the press and so on. You know, we have kids that come down and visit the Capitol, and Lewisburg School District had some their classes of fourth graders down yesterday, and it's always a great day. And I love to be there when the kids are there, because we go onto the if we're there when the kids are there, they can go onto the House floor, and then we talk a little bit about how things work. And it's all about the process, because I'm not, you know, when you're talking about kids, it's their parents' responsibility to talk to them about values and so on. So I talk about how government works and how we do things. And one of the questions I ask is, do you think that Republicans and Democrats like each other and get along? I said, do you think they don't like each other? And a lot of kids will raise their hand. They said, that's not true. I mean, I have some very good friends that are on a Democrat side of the aisle. You know, we may not agree with things, you know, on how to get there, but we all want to make, you know, our Commonwealth and our nation a better place. And when you look at how you do it, I think that's what it really comes down to. So, you know, I'd say that it's not all necessarily the politicians that are doing that. I think there's a lot of outside forces that do that. You know, maybe we need to try and help change that narrative.
All right, some key topics. The Mueller report is out. What's your reaction to the four-page summary of this and its contents?
Well, I don't know that everybody's seen the four-page summary. You know, I think the thing we need to look at with the Mueller report, and I got asked about this yesterday. I'm glad it's come to a conclusion. The special counsel made his points known. I think it's time for us as leaders to move on and work on things that are going to improve the lives of all Americans.
Well, you have a lifetime conservative voting record that's almost second to none. So how do you suspect you'll get along with President Trump and his agenda?
Well, I think, and again, when the president's agenda puts America's interests first and works on jobs and our economy, that's really, you know, you got to support that. I mean, I don't know why you would not want to support, putting America's interests first, I mean, in jobs. So, you know, as you know me, I look at everything, I read stuff, and I make a decision. And that's how I'll behave no matter which office I'm elected to.
Border security?
We need to make sure that is a responsibility of our nation. There are things that need to be done. I don't think there's any one thing. When you look at border security, you need to be looking at a physical barrier. You need to look at technology. You need to look at resources for boots on the ground. And you need to also look at our immigration policies that have not been fixed for generations. So I think there's a lot of things that can be considered, and I don't think any one thing is going to solve it. It's going to take a comprehensive plan with all of those items.
Some of the presidential candidates on the Democratic side are talking about getting rid of the Electoral College or somehow bypassing it with a compact. What's your view on that?
Well, again, the Electoral College, and if you read our Constitution, it says that the states shall choose our president, not the cities, not the population centers. And Electoral College is attached to each representative and senator. So when you look at that and you look at making sure that each state has a voice, I think the Electoral College is relevant. And, that's history class. I mean, I had a great civics teacher that never put his views in the classroom, but this is how our republic works. And I think people forget that we have a republic. And in a republic, there are certain things to make sure that every voice is heard, even if it's not the majority. The majority is the House of Representatives. The Senate is equally split amongst all the states. And that's the Electoral College, and that's how it works. I think it's worked for, well over 200 years, and I don't see scrapping that idea.
And if elected, you will go to Washington, and if you follow in the footsteps of your predecessors, you will allow nothing to happen to fix immigration.
Well, I think we're in a different time, and I think that each time in history, we need to see what we do to fix things. And, I think there's quite a few people that were elected to Congress in the last term. And I'm just optimistic that, you know, it goes back to the old Winston Churchill, the Americans will do the right thing after they've tried everything else. Something like that was his quote. And I think we've pretty much exhausted everything else, so maybe it's time for us to go and do the right thing.
And doing nothing's not working.
If you get elected, you know, the people in your district will say, well, congratulations, Fred Good, you're going to go to represent us in Washington, but what happens to us here in Pennsylvania? You're no longer our representative. What do we do now?
Well, again, I've had a lot of people that say, you know, they don't want to, Fred, we don't want to lose you. I said, you're not losing me. I'll still represent the same areas that I represent, just in D.C. rather than Harrisburg. And the same process would take place to fill the vacancy in the State House. The Speaker of the State House would call for a special election. There would be an election, or there would be a conference and a special election. So.
How fast would you, if you were elected, and the election's coming up in what, May?
May 21st. It coincides with the primary, but it's an important thing to know that people that are independent or not registered as Republicans and Democrats can vote on May 21st.
Just for that office?
For the office, the 12th congressional office, yes.
And whether you or your opponent win, when would you take office? The next day?
Well, I imagine they would have to certify the election, okay. But it would be shortly thereafter.
So once it's certified, you know, have you done any transition planning, you or your opponent? I mean, you can't just wait till the election to start looking at what you might be doing, can you?
Well, I think it would be pretty presumptuous to go getting the cart in front of the horse. Currently, there are people manning the 12th congressional district offices. The offices are still open. So the people are getting constituent services that live in a 12th congressional district. I don't think it would be right to start measuring for draperies before the election. So.
Fair enough. Thank you, Fred.
At least Fred knows how to talk up the closing remarks. Well, listen, if you get elected, remember us, will you please?
I do not forget my friends. I do not forget anybody. Everybody is important.
All right, thank you. Fred Keller for Congress in our studio and the website. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
And welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. It is Tuesday, the 26th day of March, 2019. It's the 85th day of the year. Very appropriate. That's Fred Keller's state representative district that he's still in. We have 280 more days left to go in this year. It's the second day of the week. We have four more days to go this week. Joe's retirement shortened week only has 3 days left in it. On the Marcus Mons.
No, this is Tuesday. Wednesday and Thursday have 2 days left.
2 days left. Okay, yeah. Who's counting? On the Marcus.
You are.
I know. I'm a counter. What can I say? On the Marcus, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You are welcome to email us at on the Mark at WKOK.com or text us at 70236. The Text Connect system is available at WKOK.com. That's the 70236 number. What you do is you sign up, and then we'll send you breaking national or local news, major weather announcements, or road closures via text. 70236. We send you a little link, and if you'd like to follow the link, go right ahead. If it's a message that doesn't have too much impact on you, you do not have to follow the link, and so that's your prerogative. The Sunbury Motor Company's a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15, Hummelsworth. You will see the gorgeous new Kia Telluride very soon over on Routes 11 and 15. Ernie and Austin would just love to show you that vehicle. They had a show-off session of it. Austin had it on his Facebook page. It's a gorgeous, smaller than a minivan, but larger than a sedan. It's seated, it looked like about four or five people in it very comfortably. Comes in all-wheel drive, just a gorgeous-looking, ultra ultra-modern car. It also keeps track of your blind spots. It's got collision avoidance, automatic braking if you need it, you name it. And just a super, it won't even let you back into a pole if you wanted to. It just won't let you do it. And so that's a very modern Kia. But they also had Ford, Hyundai, and Lincoln at Sunbury Motors. And you can check those out at sunburymotors.com. If you're ready to build one, you can build a Ford, Kia, Hyundai, or Lincoln at sunburymotors.com. They would just love to do business with you. We're going to do some news headlines. Hold on, Bobby. We'll be with you shortly here. Sunbury Police Department slowly regaining its strength during Monday night City Council meeting at Shikellamy High School. Council unanimously approved its sixth full-time police officer, 52-year-old Keith Tamborelli of Coltmont, Mayor Kurt Karlovich.
It's absolutely great because it's something that our residents and our visitors need to help out with the safety of our overall city. So, and I look forward to having him on the force.
Going forward, Karlovich says there's going to be another full-time hiring coming in the months ahead in Sunbury. The Danville Area School District has a new interim superintendent after agreeing to part ways with their former superintendent, Jason Bendel, although he still enjoys full salary and benefits. The board voted to hire Dr. Ricky Boyle of Sunbury. She plans to be very much in support of keeping the good things at Danville happening.
I really plan on being supportive of the administrative, the staff, the faculty, so that they are enabled to do the job they've been doing. They have a very high quality education here, and I want to see that continue.
She's taught in the Danville School District, Milton School District, and worked for the CSIU. The board also voted that this time they'll do their own search. You know how it worked out the last time they had an outside firm help them find a superintendent. A freshman Republican state representative's opening prayer in the state house is drawing complaints that it was inappropriately divisive. Representative Stephanie Borowitz began the day's session Monday with a Christian invocation that thanked Jesus for the honor and President Donald Trump for standing behind Israel unequivocally. She made a remark shortly before a Muslim Democrat from Philadelphia was sworn in after winning a special election. Democratic leader Frank Dermody called Borowitz's invocation beneath the dignity of this house and asked that a group be set up to review the procedure. Borowitz represents a Clinton County district and insists she did nothing wrong. Republican House Speaker Mike Durst is currently appealing a federal judge's decision that stopped his policy of preventing non-believers from giving the invocations. And not in the AP version is word that there were individuals in the state house yesterday who did not stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. They stayed seated at that time. And also not being covered by AP, there was a second prayer in the state house, an appropriate one, a Muslim prayer, was offered by one of the state representatives.
And supposedly the people who didn't stand were the guests of the new Muslim representative.
Oh, okay, so they were connected to that individual. Okay, so we got a little bit of the Washington disrespect going on in Harrisburg. And finally, let's do this one. Michael Avenatti, the pugnacious attorney best known for representing porn actress Stormy Daniels in lawsuits against President Donald Trump, was arrested Monday on charges that included trying to shake down Nike for $25 million by threatening the company with bad publicity. He is also, on the same day, accused of embezzling a client's money to pay his own expenses. Donald Trump Jr. gloated over the arrest on Twitter, saying, "Good news for my friend Michael Avenatti. If you plead fast enough, you might just get to share a cell with Michael Cohen."
And he has been on MSNBC and CNN a total of 130 or 140 times.
Wow. Oh, Michael Avenatti.
Right. When, you know, they were pumping him up because he was talking against President Trump, they just had him on all the time. What a great man he is.
And how many times has Donald Trump Jr. been on those networks?
I don't think it...
I think never.
By invitation, probably never. They probably have covered something he did when they could do it in a negative way.
All right. Well, Avenatti thought that he had some dirt on Nike, which they readily...
Well, I think the argument is that he didn't have any, that he just said he did, hoped to bribe them or extort them into paying him money.
Well, and Nike says, "We are an open book. Please examine all of our individuals' books, conduct, and activities, and you'll find that there's no... something to do with high schools, as I recall. So, to be continued. Bobby, thanks for waiting. You're on the mark.
Yeah, good morning, everyone, and good morning, Fred, and good morning, Joe and Mark. The whole key about government is getting involved, and, of course, most of us here, I mean, we had Mr. Ely as a teacher, and one thing that he did stress was that we get involved by showing up at the polls. And, of course, you can change government, you know, by running for office, and, you know, whether it's local, state, or national. And, of course, Fred being from this area, and that understands this area, and would be a great representative for us in Washington.
All right. Well, thank you. Yeah, appreciate that. Anything else, Bobby? Anything about
you.
The Mueller report? That awful thing. All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I think his opponent is also from the area, is he not?
Who?
Mr. Friedenberg, isn't he from Central Pennsylvania?
Well, he is from State College
right?
Area.
Yeah. We have an email from one of our emailers who says, last night, Lester Holt reported that Trump antagonist Michael Avenatti was arrested for attempting to extort Nike. No reason to report it that way other than an opportunity to imply that Trump had him arrested out of spite, would you think? Also, he reported that, quote, Trump fans are jumping with glee over the Mueller report. Let's translate that. Trump fans happy to see unfounded claims of collusion refuted by the Mueller report. That sounds more accurate. The bias and manipulation of news will never end.
Well, yeah, NBC used to sort of try to keep MSNBC separate from the NBC television news division, but they really no longer do that, and Lester Holt is the conduit to allow the bias to be in plain sight. So, and that's their choice. It is so obvious that you don't. They no longer would say, okay, we're objective. Like CNN and Fox seem to say, or they say from time to time, we're trying to be objective here. We broadcast, you announce, or you decide, or something like that.
Well, I was watching this morning,
but anyway, they're not able to do so. They're obviously biased in their own way, and now NBC has given that up. They no longer say they are not objective, and of course, obviously, the newscasts are not.
Well,
objective.
And then there was a report on CNN from Don Lemon, who hates the president, that
and whites, I might
wants
add.
Wants to know why people lied to Mueller. About, you know, he thinks that his point is that people lied to Mueller and saying there was no collusion when there really was.
Okay.
So, you know, Mueller arrested people or charged people for lying to the FBI and lying to others. You think if they lied to him, he might also take some action against them. But the bias just keeps on going. This morning I turned on Morning Joe for a minute.
And that's on which channel?
That's on MSNBC. And they had a panel there, and they were just saying how awful this is and that, you know, we need the whole report to come out because certainly there must be something behind this. There's all this smoke. There's got to be fire. I mean, it's just pathetic.
Well, and the president is still under investigation in other venues in the U.S. House. And I believe there's a U.S. Senate investigation.
There were already House and Senate investigations into alleged Russian collusion, and they found no evidence the president colluded, but that didn't stop the
Mueller
probe.
All right, so he's innocent of that crime. But there's other investigations
underway. Right, there's other crimes. So, he surely must be guilty of, right?
No, he's innocent of all of those crimes.
Oh, well, but other things. Why can't you keep on with the investigations? What's the point?
I don't think they relate to Russian collusion. I think there are other topics.
Well,
I don't have the list.
Now obstruction of justice.
Right. I don't have the list in front of me. I'm just saying that, you know, people say that he's been totally exonerated. Well, you know, his U.S. attorney said he is not exonerated. And then secondly,
but he's
still being investigated. So
not indicted. They found no evidence. If Mueller had found evidence that he had committed.
Of the collusion.
No, not collusion. If he had committed obstruction of justice, if Mueller, after 2 years, $25 million, 500 witnesses, if he couldn't find it then,
what's
he should have just said, it isn't here. You know, to say, I can't tell. Well, boy, you know,
well,
after all that money, all that time,
Mueller's,
all those people.
Mueller's last blow to the president.
Someone said he was just hedging his bets. You know, and what's interesting, this morning we were talking about the media. There was a fascinating story here. Alan Dershowitz has said that CNN banned him for not conforming to the one-sided presentation of the Mueller report. It says CNN is accused of banning one of the country's leading legal minds from its airways because he would not conform to its one-sided presentation of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russian investigation. Former Harvard law professor Alan Dershowitz made the explosive claim during an appearance on The Story Monday night before embarking on a victory lap in the wake of Mueller's findings being made public by Attorney General William Barr. He said, I have been right from day one, and almost all the other pundits and professors have been just dead wrong. CNN wouldn't have me on the air because they want a one-sided presentation. They banned me from their air because I was being too fair. I was trying to assess what the essential issue was, and I wasn't being partisan. They didn't want that. They didn't want that.
Well, CNN had Republican congresspeople on over the weekend talking about the report, but that was before the summary came out.
Dershowitz isn't a politician. He's a lawyer, and a constitutional lawyer, you know, and they didn't want
to. So just as an expert, they wouldn't have. Yeah, they had several. Yeah, their panels were balanced as much as CNN will do so. But they did have folks saying the other, sort of the other side of the story, as Fox did, too. You know, they always put a token Democrat on there so that they can say that they're objective, that kind of thing.
Well, they've now hired the former head of the Democratic Party.
Good for them.
To be on there. And the one who slipped Hillary the answers to the question she would be asked in a debate against Bernie Sanders.
All right. 1-800.
That lady?
No. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We invite you to give us a buzz. We're still talking about the Mueller report. You can have a remark about State House member Fred Keller, who is now a U.S. congressional candidate. That's the hat he was wearing when he comes in here, although he indicated he doesn't wear hats. And we can talk to you about anything you want. It's an open phone. Day. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We've morphed into a discussion about the fact that the news media is not objective, as Ted Koppel has pointed out. And I think it's safe to say that anybody can see it now. You used to stand up, you know, 2 years ago, people would stand up for the news media and say, well, I don't know. I think they're trying to be objective. It's just that so much of the news about President Trump is bad that it looks like they're going after him. But now, they're going after them. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Mike from Bloomsburg, thank you for calling in. You're on the mark.
Hey, good morning. CNN, evidently the president of the company, has said, basically made an excuse for how they, you know, pushed this collusion theory and had all these guests on that said they have proof. Well, CNN has come out and said they're not investigators, okay? So I just want to say that I guess I have a lot in common with CNN. I'm not really an investigator. I don't have sources and all that stuff. I only know what I hear. And I just wanted to say what I believe the whole collusion thing was about. I believe in the beginning, these people in Russia that were running these ads on Facebook and stuff, they were really entrepreneurs trying to make money. That was their goal, to sell ads and make money. And that's where I believe this whole thing started. But even above that, I think the Russians had it on Hillary Clinton. You remember that her server, and she was allowed to delete the things that she thought weren't pertinent to the investigation. You recall that?
Yep. Took a hammer to her cell phone, deleted a lot of emails. Yep.
Right. Things about, you know, yoga practice and wedding plans and all that. But she was allowed to get rid of that stuff. Well, I believe the things that she got rid of, there was a lot of really bad things on there, and our foreign adversaries, including Russia, had those things. So I think Russia was actually sending a little message to Hillary. Hey, we know you're going to be elected, just like everybody in America knows, but guess what? We have your number, and you're going to cooperate with us once you're elected. And I think that's what this whole thing was about. And then the rest of it, just like most people believe, that once Trump was elected, they decided they were going to, you know, have a coup and get rid of him any way they could. So I think the whole thing is a fraud. And I wish I would have had a chance to ask the gentleman running for the, you know, the congressional district that you guys are involved in there. I would like to know his feelings on what Donald Trump said about this investigation and about all the people that he believes were part of a failed takeover or coup, and how they should be investigated and possibly prosecuted. I would like to know that, because if he's in the House, he could have some say on that, and I thought that would be an important question. If you have him back, I'd like to hear his answer to that.
Well, I think if you look at it from one way, if the Democrats were willing to just let this stuff go and get on with governing the country, I wouldn't press those investigations. But if they're going to keep investigating the president, then I think someone needs to take a look at their skirts and just see how clean they might be.
Well, that to me is an interesting perspective. But from my personal standpoint, I believe that what was done was so wrong and so detrimental to our country that the people need to be held accountable. I don't think that, you know, letting it go whether that would be good politics or bad politics, leave all that out of there. We need to get to the bottom of what actually happened and bring this to daylight so that everybody can see, because I think that would be the best antiseptic.
No, you may have a point.
All right. Thank you so
Thanks
much for calling
Appreciate
in, Mike.
Call, Mike.
Appreciate the call. Cindy, you're next up on the Mark. We got another call coming in, too. Go ahead, Cindy.
I'll be quick. I think this is the day that the people who want more gun restrictions should be celebrating in the streets. I'm kind of surprised they're not, because the bump stock ban to effect. It's a felony to have a bump stock. I think they said today you have 90 days to destroy it or turn it in, or it's a felony. So it's odd to me that as passionately as people spoke out about this, that there isn't as equal a pleasure that they now are illegal. Don't you think they should be happy?
I guess people are caught up in the Mueller report. I don't know. That's a good point. I have not heard much about it other than that the news has mentioned it several times, but
right.
Really no reaction and nothing on social media or anything that I detected.
Well, and I'm just surprised because as passionately as people seem to feel about this, and I certainly think they should have been made illegal, have no question about that. I just don't understand why they're not happy about this, rejoicing about this. You know,
well,
I mean,
they are.
Maybe
they are, but they're just not doing it publicly. There's so much other news, and we seem to be consumed by the aftermath of the Barr report or the Mueller report that I think people are focused on that at the moment.
Yeah, and maybe that's not the thing to be focused on. People want change in this country. Here's change, and it's going to be totally lost in this miasma of carrying on about something that is, was investigated and found to be unsupportable. And so let's move on and let's take, if we never take joy in the good things that happen, where are we left with but just constantly carping at each other, which is really destructive. A waste of time and destructive. So, and while I don't like executive orders, apparently that's what this was, kind of a regulatory. Actually, it was a regulatory change. I think Congress, I hold them accountable for failing to act on this, and it should have been made illegal because a regulation can go, all the way to one direction. It can also go all the way to the other the next time, as some people are seeing happen now with the Trump administration on many issues. It would be better if Congress had made them illegal, because barring repeal of that law, that won't change. So I would prefer that Congress still take action to make these things illegal.
All right.
And I find it damning that they failed to do that.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, that's an excellent point. We love to point out when our Congress does nothing, which is most of the time, but when something finally happens, well, the Congress didn't do it, but when something finally happens in Washington, D.C., that makes common sense. It really hasn't been much talked about. We will take all comers now. We have open phones, 1-800-795-9565. We're talking about the Mueller report, and we just talked about bump stocks being illegal, and you have to destroy them.
Dershowitz being thrown off of CNN because he didn't toe the line.
All right. 1-800
prayer, the explosive prayer in Harrisburg. We've got a lot of food to chew on here today.
So we'll take your opinions. 1-800-795-9565.
Hometown pharmacies, every season, every day.
Hi, this is Brad from Lewisburg Pharmacy, and I'm proud to be part of the Hometown Pharmacy family. Everyone's busy nowadays, and sometimes you just run out of time to get the things done. Things like calling the doctor's office to get refills for your prescriptions, and even picking up your prescriptions once they're filled. No worries. Lewisburg Pharmacy's here to help. No matter where you have your prescriptions filled now, Lewisburg Pharmacy can transfer your prescriptions for you. You won't have to lift a finger. We'll fill your prescriptions and even deliver them to you. What makes Lewisburg Pharmacy and all the Hometown Pharmacies great? It's the personalized service we give each and every customer every day.
Now that's the way it should be. The hometown feel we all want, but seems hard to find. Hometown pharmacies, like the Lewisburg Pharmacy, do so much more than the big box stores. Every season, every day.
Hometown pharmacies in Mifflinburg, Northumberland, Bloomsburg, Mount Pleasant Mills, and the Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg, making a local difference every season, every day.
Welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. Asked four callers. Got it. Two are waiting. Bill is first. Bill, thanks for waiting the first time and the second time. You're on the mark. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just want to... If you guys were so lucky that Trump gave you an exclusive interview on your program, say, for 30 minutes. After that program was over, the Democrat would come after your radio station, and they would try to bankrupt you. They would force you. They would go through all your taxes. They would try to put the both of you in jail. And this is what they're trying to do with Trump. He's an outsider that came in out of nowhere and has proven the establishment wrong, especially the Democratic Party. And this is all they're doing, is they're going after him, and they don't care how they sell the country out. They got the blinders on, and they're going to ruin this country. And they go after everything he touches, or any contact. And if these two guys were so lucky to have an exclusive interview, you would be investigated, and they would try to put you in jail. And this is what they're doing to Trump.
Well, it's not just the Democrats; it's the mainstream media too.
Well, the media, the CNN, they're in bed with them. They're so crooked that it's beyond real what they're getting away with. You could take, and it's been proven on 60 Minutes or 2020, you could take $600, go to Russia, set up a web page on a news story, and it was proven on prime time. I can make a story up that you had lunch with the Martians last Tuesday, and it's been proven within like 8 hours, 400,000 hits, and then the next day 2 million hits. This is how they get their fake stuff out there. It was proven, and a guy in Denver was doing this. He was making $10,000 a month just putting out fake stories.
Yeah, but the Martians promised me they'd keep our lunch quiet.
This is what the Democrats are doing on the highest level. The collusion and their one phrase, it was a matter, their one phrase words. They push it out there. It's the same scenario.
Well, and Fox News is the same, only opposite. You're right. They're all of the news media. And the funny thing is, people like it. You know, Fox has great ratings.
It's all reality TV. Reality TV, and that's all they hear. It's not the truth.
It's the other kind of reality TV. All right, well, we got a caller waiting, and we got one coming in. So thank you so much, Bill. Thanks for weighing in. I really appreciate that. Yeah, talking about the news media. Yeah, the important thing, as he points out, what's wrong with the news media is that people love it. You know, the CNN ratings are good, and Fox's are even better, and they're all completely one-sided.
I think the media has hurt itself here. I mean, they've really blown their own foot off.
Yeah, nobody's objective.
So much in the bag on this issue. And, you know, Bernstein is just, I think, a disgrace at this point. So, personal opinion. All right, Dan, from New Berlin, you're on the mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. Well, I agree wholeheartedly with the last caller, everything he said. But I call the Bad Island Dershowitz. It's hard for a Pennsylvania Dutchman to say that word, that name, but he is very objective. He's not a conservative at all. He's a very liberal man, very liberal lawyer. Sean Hannity had him on very often talking about the collusion charge, and Alan Dershowitz said, you can't charge someone with collusion and impeach him anyway. So he's the expert on it, and it's amazing when he didn't go the party line, he got kicked. They didn't want him no more on CNN. And let me say, I know, Mark, you think that Fox is a total, like, they have one line. Well, it's not true. You listen all day long on Fox News. Most of them don't even think Trump's a great president. You only have a couple at night anymore that are real Trumpers. You have about three, and Judge Jeanine lost her job on that.
Well, she didn't lose her job, Dan. She's just suspended for 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, they didn't like what she said. She's gonna have to walk the line better. and Fox is changing. There's a new network out there. I can't get it. You know, it's USA. Maybe you know what it is, Joe.
The Blaze?
No, that I can't get either. But there's a newer one where they have Bill O'Reilly's back on it. He's on this network. And I don't know where you can pick it up, but O'Reilly's back, and it's going to be, if there's going to be a conservative network, that'll be it. It won't be Fox anymore, but that's where it's going to be at. So,
and it'll be objective news?
Well, it'll be objective.
Conservative.
It'll be conservative objective, but it won't. it won't be the CNNs
as opposed to liberal objective, Mark.
I guess
they're not even objective liberal. All they wanted to do was get rid of Trump.
Well, there's One America News Network, but that's a right wing.
That may be
set up.
That may be it. Somebody was telling me about it the other night, and I said, well, I can't even get the Blaze, except you can get it on your radio station, Glenn Beck, on your sister station. Glenn Beck's on every morning. You know, well, you know that better than I do. But he has Bill O'Reilly on every Friday, but I don't think he'll be on anymore, since he has his own network. That was a very good program that Fox took off. It was a shame. That was very objective. Bill O'Reilly was not a Trumper.
Well, he wasn't taken off because of his politics. He was taken off because of his treatment of women, which was horrendous.
Well,
which
I thought he treated her pretty well with $32 million.
But
which
you know,
you shouldn't
the
appreciate
thing of
that.
It is, where's the there?
What?
You know, there was not. They said that, but nothing was ever brought out about his mistreatment of women.
Oh, lots of women came forward. Sorry, you but might not have been paying attention, but definitely.
Anyhow, they
yeah,
got
women
rid-
came forward.
Anyhow, he's not on, but his pro. Despite of that, his program was very good. He was a very. I enjoyed that better than any of the other Fox programs. When he took that off, I gave up pretty much on Fox, but that was one of the better programs.
Well, I looked it up. I can't find any reference to him being on another network at the moment. I know he has been on The Blaze as a guest, but I don't think he has a show there, so I can't find any reference to any show he might be doing, though, Dan.
Yeah, thank you so much, Dan. Really appreciate the call. I got to take a quickie break. I will be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC Way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC Way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, 1-800-795-9565. Earlier today, we had State House Member Fred Keller on the show.
And Larry G. says, Fred is such a voice of reason. Thank you for asking him strong, meaningful questions rather than tossing him softballs. The fact that he gives strong, positive answers will serve him well in Washington. I especially like the fact that he interjected the need for unity both times. Mark made a remark that was a tad off-center. A check is being sent today to support his campaign. That's from Larry G. in Texas.
Yeah, I try to instigate with my questions, not just investigate.
I ask him about foreign money. Well, here's real foreign money coming from Texas.
How about that? Yeah, outside money. I think they mean outside the U.S.
Outside money, okay.
I think so. That's what I'm talking about, or they're talking about. Mark from Watsontown, PA, thank you so much for calling in. You are on the mark.
It's been a while since I talked to you, Mark. How have you been?
I'm fine. No objections. Better than ever.
I got an exclusive. I listened to Clyde Lewis, Ground Zero, at night, and he's going to look into more of it, but it doesn't look good in Venezuela. The Russians are moving in there with military equipment and troops. That's your other Cuba missile crisis coming up real soon. So I thought I'd let you know about that. Of course, the situation in the Middle East is dire. So we got to start to pull together. The investigation on Trump on that Russian collusion is over with. I know it can be a clod at times, but we have some very, very bad times ahead of us. I'll tell you that right now. Have you heard anything?
Just from you.
Okay, well, look, I'm telling you, and it hasn't been on coast to coast yet, but George Norrie will probably follow up maybe next week on it. But it's I can't believe that they're going to try to prop up that murderous dictator down there. But they're moving in. I guess he's selling a lot of oil off the side to them and Cuba right now, too. So it's bad, so let's pray for the world. That's all I can say.
Well, thank you. Keep an eye on it. We appreciate that. Yeah, it doesn't bust into the mainstream media. Nothing about it on our national wires today. It isn't news to me, so somehow somebody somewhere report. Oh, I know. One of our good listeners sent us a link for a Red Eye Radio. It's a podcast you listen to in the morning. I think it's meant for truckers who are up all night. They seem to have a lot of trucking comments.
Well, they're on up against George Norrie. You know, coast to coast.
Okay.
So sometimes I catch them, but it's most of the time I go with George.
Well, if it hadn't been brought to my attention, I'm sound asleep at that time. But I'm glad we got the link. And I did listen to a little of it.
Well, unfortunately, I get insomnia every now and then. I drink too much coffee.
Oh, well, that's not insomnia. That's just called being kept awake.
That's being stupid.
It's called being wired.
Or drinking the coffee too late, too.
All right.
Well, thank you very much. You take care.
Take care. Thank you, Mark. On to Chris from Milton, talking about the fact that we no longer have any objective news media, as near as I can tell. I'm sure somebody writes a few stories in the middle, but Chris is about to tell us the truth.
Well, what did that guy say, that Venezuela was selling oil to Cuba?
And to Russia on the side.
On the side of what? It's not illegal to do that, is it?
No, they can sell all of their oil to Russia.
Why would that be a problem?
Well, they're no longer on the world market. They're just transferring their oil to one particular country.
Well, hasn't anybody imposed any embargo on their oil to try and bring the Maduro or whatever his name is under control? Aren't there UN sanctions in place against Venezuela?
I'm not sure. I think
I'm not
Trump
either.
Might have done some American ones. I'm not sure.
Well, they would only apply to us.
But it certainly doesn't include Cuba and Russia,
no.
I don't think.
Okay, Chris, you got 2 minutes left. We got one caller waiting and another one coming in.
Well, the media, somehow when Fox had reported like 14 different scandals in the Obama administration that were worse than Watergate, I didn't hear all this calling out about the media being done.
Well, what are you talking about in particular?
Every couple of months they'd come up with some new scandal in the Obama administration that was worse than Watergate, and demanding investigations.
They didn't have to demand them.
We have a lot more information about Hillary, and I guess you could call her completely exonerated, but I don't hear any of your right-wing listeners saying that or apologizing for all the wrong remarks they made about her.
Well, I think you're missing the point here. They're saying that she wasn't completely investigated, that they gave her a pass on destroying those emails and breaking up her phone and using that server.
Yeah, but the report was released in some detail. We haven't got anything about the Mueller report yet.
You've gotten a summary of it.
Report.
Now, what do you think would happen if Mr. Mueller thought that the Attorney General had released a completely unfactual and unsubstantiated report of what he sent him?
Well, he hasn't. We haven't seen what he's finally going to release yet.
And you realize that four-page letter was written in conjunction with Mr. Mueller and Rod Rosenstein.
In conjunction with Rod Rosenstein. I don't believe it was in conjunction with Mr. Mueller.
I think he had input from him.
Yes, it was with, in conjunction with Rod Rosenstein.
Stein.
You always give you always mess me up on that.
We'll have to remember it's the beer glass, the Stein.
1 minute left, Chris.
Like the Republicans were always pronouncing it Stein for reasons of their own.
Irritate them.
Yeah, and that's how that objective reporting went.
Okay,
but
we got you, Chris.
Remember also what Mueller was supposed to investigate and what the limits of his investigation were, in that he wasn't allowed to indict the president.
He didn't try, and he said there's not enough evidence to do it.
There would never be enough evidence for him to recommend to indict, because it was against Justice Department policy that Mueller said he was going to follow.
Well, don't you felt
he didn't?
Well, I think that would be one of the substantial conclusions.
Let's get the report out there,
Chris,
and
that
then
we can
have back and forth on something we actually know about.
That would be a major conclusion of the report, that if the Attorney General admitted it, he would be in very hot water.
Yeah, I doubt if it's there, but the point is we don't know. That's the point I was making.
So we believe Attorney General Barr lied to us or didn't tell us the whole truth, or after he was confirmed by the Senate by an overwhelming majority this time and the time before unanimously, we suddenly believe he's turned into a liar and a...
I'm not sure how overwhelming it was, but
right.
Yes, he had already prejudged collusion before he even got in office, right?
Come on.
All right.
If you
thank
want
you
to go
so much.
Down
all
that
right.
road,
no.
But I didn't want to go down that road.
Well, it's
but
a wrong road to go down.
Like that.
All right, thank you, Chris.
You just ran off the tracks, Chris. Have a nice day.
Thank you. Appreciate that. All right, good. We got one caller waiting and another one coming in. We'll be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
I want you to meet somebody. His name is Terry. And the only place to meet him is to go to the Shade Mountain Pharmacy. And once he gets to know you, or even if he doesn't get to know you, he will take fantastic care of you. Tyler will do the same thing at Trutz Pharmacy on Walnut Street in Mifflinburg. Steve will do the same thing at the Norrie Pharmacy on Duke Street in Northumberland. Jennifer, the head pharmacist at the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop on Market Street in Bloomsburg, would just love to super serve you. And Brad's at the Lewisburg Pharmacy. They don't call him the smartest guy behind the pharmaceutical counter for nothing. Well, the other pharmacist is a woman, but he's the smartest guy back there, and that's on 2nd Street in Lewisburg. Terry's on Shade Mountain, at the foot of Shade Mountain on Route 35 of Mount Pleasant Mills. And guess what? They invented the term super service. That's when a store doesn't just say, what do you want, and give it to you and charge you. No, they find out what are your unmet needs when it comes to the prescription drugs that you need and require and survive on. They make sure there's no drug interactions. When there's newer, better drugs that come out, they mention it to you so you can start to ask about it and bone up on the topic and maybe take care of that. If you can't make it in, they deliver. If you need to take unused drugs back, they got the drug take back. So you name it. A hometown pharmacy is super service. It is quintessentially the precise opposite of a big box pharmacy. At the very top of customer service lists around the world are independent pharmacies like the hometown pharmacies, Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy, Noria Pharmacy, Jennifer at the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Lewisburg Pharmacy. At the very bottom is the CVS and the Walmart Pharmacy, and I kid you not, it's just precisely the opposite way to be taken care of by a store. So don't go to a grocery store for your pharmaceuticals. Go to a hometown pharmacy. Mike, thank you for waiting. You've been online longer than you'll ever get a chance to speak, but we appreciate you waiting. You're on the mark.
Yeah, I got a cramp in my shoulder holding my phone up here.
Sorry, buddy.
Sue us.
O'Reilly featured on a network called Newsmax for your information.
Newsmax.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, an uber right-wing outfit right beside One American News on Verizon Fios cable
so
TV.
It's a cable show, not a cable network, or is it?
I don't know what they are. They're pretty small time. They seem sort of... They're conservative, and they feature him once or twice a week.
Well, his program on Fox was called The O'Reilly Factor. Is that what he calls this one, or isn't it a program?
No, I don't think so, no. I don't. On account of the way my belief system, I don't exactly watch it. But okay. I've seen it as I surf by, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
And this Keller guy, can I ask you a question about Keller?
Sure.
What? Couldn't a guy like Keller, a Republican and a gerrymandered, gigantic area like he covers, he could sit home in his pajamas and eat Oreo cookies and win an election?
Well, that's what Tom Marino did.
Like that, couldn't he? I mean, what?
Well, if you knew Fred Keller...
Gerrymandering a problem? I mean, hasn't that just crushed our choices and our democracy?
I don't know.
When you know one side's always going to win?
I don't know, Mr. Friedenberg. I'm sure the things I've heard about him are good. I've known Fred Keller for some 11, 12 years now, and I know him to be a hard worker. He doesn't sit around and eat crackers.
That's the point. He's a Republican that's going to win because of a gerrymandered...
No, stop and think a minute. The district he's... you're wrong. The district he's running in now was redesigned by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. It was a gerrymandered district in the past, but then the current district structure was thrown out, the Supreme Court rewrote it or redrew the lines, and this district has been drawn fairly by them.
Right, and I think there are more Republicans in the district because there are more Republicans around
this area.
In this part of the state.
They redrew that map, but I don't understand that the gerrymandering problem is not a done deal yet. That was just a first step in trying
to these districts are pretty good, but they're not perfect.
Well,
all right.
These districts were drawn by the Supreme Court.
True.
They'll be in place until the next reapportionment, which is after the next census next year.
So it sounds like we're going to get an upgrade in congressman no matter what, whether it's Mark Friedenberg or Fred Keller. They're all hard workers, and it looks like...
Should I read this email?
And we know Fred. Well, let's get to Cindy. She's waiting. Cindy, go right ahead. You're on the mark.
Well, now we're in with State College. I don't know. And they're largely Democratic, I would think, there. So I can't see how that redistricting... We were redistricted, and I think it's a more even-handed district. But that's not why I called. I just looked over the Sunday paper, and I see that Lewisburg area high school students raised almost $35,000 for a thon. Well done for them. I think that's wonderful. That money will go down Hershey Medical Center and provide for children to have free care for cancer there. And I think that's terrific. Well done to every one of those young people who put their efforts in that.
Okay.
Well done. And the people who supported them.
Yeah, we had that news yesterday. It was on the radio news yesterday. Yeah, congratulations to them. We've been to their thon. It's a lot of fun.
Well, they did something with superheroes. They kind of had a theme, I guess. But
that was their theme, yeah.
That's just terrific. You know, people condemn young people today. I think we underestimate what terrific young people we have, and we ought to applaud their positive efforts. Like
all right.
That.
Noted. Thank you so much, Cindy. Appreciate that. Yeah, we hate to report good news, but we have no choice today.
And we have one final email to bring in. If we're going to investigate the investigators, I hope we start at the beginning. Barack Obama is the only president since Nixon who didn't have to deal with an independent investigation. Former presidents George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, George H.W. Bush, Ronald Reagan, Jimmy Carter, and Gerald Ford all faced investigations into their activities or the activities of their associates. At least the Nixon investigation grew out of an actual crime. Of course, Obama had to deal with the birthers, with Donald Trump as one of the ringleaders. It would seem that if Congress doesn't like a president, investigators are the preferred method of trying to freeze him into inaction. Mr. Trump isn't alone. He's simply the loudest complainer.
Good point. Thank you. Appreciate the email. Thank you, everybody.
He has been a loud complainer.
All right. 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. You'll need it tomorrow morning. We got open phones tomorrow, so the topic of your selection once again.
And we'll probably talk about that prayer run amok in Harrisburg yesterday.
Yeah, we had a prayer where somebody said, pray for Donald Trump and the annexation of Israel, or not annexation. supporting Israel, sorry. Yeah, what is it?
Said it was divisive.
Right.
But then there were other elements that weren't reported that may be divisive, too.
Well, we stand behind Israel unequivocally, so thanks to the prayer. You're listening to WDK, OK, Sunbury.